We are today going to start Psalm 67, and we're going to spend a few weeks in it. My intention actually was to move into Psalm 67 and spend 1 week, and then as I was praying, God was speaking to me about a few connections and the need for it to be longer than just today. And so what we did when we started our previous psalm was we did Alexio Divina, where we intentionally made space to hear God speak through his word. And we did three readings that day, and we're going to do three readings again. The first time that we read, we listened for the word or the phrase that really stood out for us, the word or the phrase that resonated. The second time, we listened for where does that word or phrase speak into our life. And then the third, we listen for what is the invitation? What is God inviting me to be or to do? And so today we are going to take a step into this psalm and we are going to be listening for God speaking. And I'm going to do our first reading and then I'm going to make a little bit of space and we're going to unpack what does Christian meditation look like? What is meditation? Because it's something that's spoken about in Scripture. It's something that we're invited to. And it's, I would suggest, actually, it's a key way that we encounter God. It's a key way that we make space to hear from God. And so, Father, as we make space right now to hear from you, Lord, we just ask. We ask for you to reveal any obstacles, any blocks, anything that would be standing in the way of us hearing. And we just make a moment, we take a moment right now to surrender those before you. Thank you, Lord. So as I read, just invite you to listen. What's the word or what's the phrase that stands out to you? It might be worth it for you to have a pen, or if you're reading if you don't have a pen, make sure, just put your finger on it, because I'm going to invite you to share it with somebody around you. Psalm 67, I'm reading from the New King James Version. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And so just invite you to take a moment right now. Hold the word or hold the phrase inwardly before God. And just rest. Just take a moment to rest. Okay, I'm going to invite you to share, just simply share the word or the phrase with somebody that's sitting near you. Don't go into unpacking and explaining all the details around it. Just say the word that stood out to me was, or the phrase was, let all the peoples praise you, whatever it is. Just go ahead and share that and keep your eyes open. Make sure everybody has the opportunity to share with somebody nearby you. Okay, I'll give you about 20 more seconds. Anybody not have a chance to share? Anybody not have a chance? Okay. All right, I'm going to grab your attention back, invite you to back into this space. And don't worry, you'll have a chance to share a little more as we keep moving through here. I want you to hold on to that word or phrase, and don't worry if something goes into a different direction or another word or phrase. We don't want to hold this in a religious way. We want to hold this in a posture of listening way, making space for God to speak to us. Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline, is one of those books that has been formational and continues to speak life into my journey personally as I continue to seek after God. It's one that I would recommend you pick up. It's one that I would recommend you go back to. And it was actually, Richard Foster is the author. The book is called Celebration of Discipline. Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline. It was one of the first courses that I went through when I was at Bible school, Northwest Baptist College. And as we went through the course, the professor demonstrated, lived out as he taught through the book, his heart for Jesus. And it's so much that when Jody went through the class a year after me, when she came to Northwest, it stood out for her as well, and we ended up asking that professor to officiate our wedding ceremony. And I tell you that, I don't know why I told you that. Let's get back here into focus. That wasn't part of my notes, but now you know a little bit more about me, about us. Christian meditation, Richard Foster says, is a vital spiritual discipline that invites believers to encounter God intimately. Christian meditation is a vital spiritual discipline that invites believers to encounter God intimately. The difference between Christian meditation and Eastern meditation or other forms of meditation is that as we engage and meditate with Jesus on our foremost, what we're doing is we're filling ourselves with God's Spirit, with God, as opposed to other forms of meditation, which are all about emptying oneself. Foster goes on to describe that Christian meditation is the discipline of hearing God's voice and obeying it. So the idea is that as we meditate on God, as we meditate on God's word, that we'll hear God speaking to us, and that from the hearing, the result is that we actually obey, we do. This is a direct quote. Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. It's all about developing our relationship and encounter with God. I heard a quote that it's somewhere in the low percentages of the Christian church. It's something like a 10% of people who actually discipline and consistently tithe. I heard another quote that it's in that similar range of the number of people who actually discipline themselves to read and encounter God through His Word. And there are different forms of meditation. What we're doing today is specifically meditating on His Word. One of the ties between the psalm last week and the psalm that we're in right now and where we're going to go is we're going to consider what are the high places in our lives. If you remember last week, there were all these kings of Israel and kings of Judah. There were only two of them. There were only two of them that tore down the high places. And a high place was this place of geographical. It was elevated and people would go up to it and they would make sacrifices. They would worship. And for some reason, even the good kings who abolished the sacrifices to some of the other gods, child sacrifices and other horrifying things, they didn't tear down the high places. And so we're going to evaluate what are the high places in our lives? What are the places that we put as more of a value than encountering God and meditating in Scripture? Psalm 1 verse 2 says this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." The Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Joshua 1 verse 8 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Psalm 119 verse 15 says this, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." Psalm 143 verse 5 says, "I would meditate on all you have done. I ponder the work of your hands." If you read the temptation of Jesus in the various gospel accounts, his response to each temptation is Scripture. His response is to take the word of God and say, "It is written." And see, when we take what we've meditated on before God, when we take the law and we bring it into that place of temptation and we say, "It is written," we silence the enemy. We rebuke the enemy. We stand firm against any temptation, any sin that's going on in our lives. And see, meditation leads to inner change. What it does is it shifts our will, our self-oriented will, to God's will. Foster says, "Inward fellowship of this kind transforms the inner personality. We cannot spend time in sustained prayer and remain the same." I love that. We cannot spend time in sustained prayer and remain the same. It transforms us when we meditate on God's word, when we meditate and reflect on the truth that God's Spirit indwells us, resides in us, fills us, renews us, strengthens us. This is such a key thing, and it's one of the first things often that we're taught as we come into faith in Jesus. At least hopefully it's one of the first things that we're taught, and yet it's one of the things that goes by the wayside. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, I was speaking through the application of a couple of things, and I challenged us against the idea of just reading Scripture for checking a box. And see, that moves us into a religious stance. It moves us into a place of just doing it for the sake of doing it. It's almost like maintaining a relationship with a close friend and just going and sitting with a friend and so that you can check off on your calendar, maintained relationship, but not actually sitting and listening to what they're saying. It's like, okay, I'm here, but I'm going to let my mind wander. I'm going to think about everything else. And, oh, time's up. I got to go. And so if you're one of those who's if we say there's 10% of followers of Jesus who consistently discipline themselves and enter into meditation on God's word, if you're one of the 90% who aren't doing that, you need to start doing it. But if you're one who's saying, "I'm doing it, but I check off the box and I don't actually engage God," then there's invitation for you to do more. There's invitation for you to step deeper and truer into relationship with God. I'm going to do the second reading of Psalm 67. And this is that practice of meditation on God's word. And as I read, what I want to invite you to listen to is what area in your life is God speaking to? What area is he celebrating? What area is he inviting you into a different posture? Where is the area? Is it family? Is it vocation? Is it any number of things? And so, Father, we ask again that you would tune us to hear your voice, that you'd reveal which area in our life that you want to speak into. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations, that the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase, God. Our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And so just take a moment and pause and consider, hold the two things, the word or phrase that stood out to you, and then what area of your life is this speaking into? So I'm going to invite you to share the area of your life that it's speaking into, and feel free to be sensitive in how you share it. If you're struggling in a relationship, I wouldn't say I'm struggling in this relationship with this person and name names. What I would say is this is just about speaking into my friends or my family, whatever it is. But there's strength when we share with one another, when we speak it out loud, we have witnesses. So go ahead and share the area of your life that this word is speaking into. Okay, I'll give you 20 more seconds here. Make sure everybody's had a chance, a moment. I'm going to grab your attention back here. Let me give you a couple of different examples of what meditation looks like. And so there is meditation on Scripture, meditation where we're actually taking and making space to read through Scripture and see where it speaks into our life, exactly what we're doing right now. There, as part of that can be a memorization where you spend time memorizing God's word. And as you memorize it, it speaks into, and that would have been part of the result of Jesus spending time meditating. He had all of these scriptures that came in rebuke of the enemy during temptation. There's a meditation on scripture where you look at what God has created and you praise him for the amazing capacity, the amazing beauty of his creation. There's another type of meditation where you enter into biblical stories, where you allow your mind, your imagination to be guided and directed by Holy Spirit to see as Jesus touches and brings healing to people, to understand that that is for us today, to understand that Jesus still heals us today, still encounters us today, still speaks to us today. Foster says, reminds us that as we fill our minds with great thoughts of God, we become accustomed to his voice. We begin to hear his voice. His voice becomes clearer than the words of the world or the doubts of our own thoughts or the lies of the enemy. Foster points out there are a number of barriers to meditation. He says that in contemporary society, our adversary, the enemy, majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. Anybody encountered any of those lately? Anybody feeling a little frazzled as our little coast has become... Mark 1:35 says this: very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus is the example for us. He's the one who models what it looks like. He's the one who demonstrates. He's the perfect measurement. And he made space every day to get on his own where he could hear. Sometimes we hear these things and we go, oh, those kinds of things are for the professionals. Those are for the professional Christians. Those are for people like Joel who gets paid to be a professional Christian. And while I agree it is for me, it's actually for every single one of us. Jesus invited us into a life of discipleship, a life where we lay down our lives, lay down our will, and we take up his will. It's not a half-hearted endeavor. I think one of the high places that we have is this putting of any other thing, of placing the importance of that at the cost of our relationship with God, at the cost of actually surrendering our life and thinking that we're going to find our lives in those high places. And the truth is, we never do. The truth is, they always come up empty, whatever that high place is. It always comes up empty. And the only place and the only way that we find our life is when we surrender it, when we enter into it. And one of the ways is this disciplined, consistent place of coming and resting and meditating before God. I'm going to give you practical steps. Some of us love practical steps, don't we? Got your pen ready? It's interesting. I hear all these extra things come back to memory. One of them is Eugene Peterson, who paraphrased the message that Hannah read from, counsels pastors to not be too prescriptive in their thing because you take out room for God to move. That was his take on it. He had somebody that always came to him and said, give me the list. Give me the list of what I need to do. Give me the list. Give me the list. Give me the list. And he tells a story of how he held off. He made it very open. It was about listening and hearing from God. Similar to how we move and we do things. And then occasionally I'll throw a list in. And he said, he threw a list in once, and the guy that said, give me the list, he said, oh, that was the best message ever. So for those of you who like lists, let me give you a small list. The first is this: designate a time and a place. Choose a quiet and a consistent setting. It's interesting, I was mentioning against guarding ourselves from a religious approach where we do it just to check a box. After I had preached that message, I went, I've actually been doing a little bit of that as I've been going through Scripture, and so I'm just going to make a little more space to engage, because right now I'm in a daily reading plan. And what happened was I went slower, and then I got behind, and then all of a sudden my schedule shifted. I didn't listen to the list that I'm going to give you here in a moment. And all of a sudden, there was a dryness. And I made space to intentionally carve out some time this last week. I was aided by one of my young daughters who chose to wake me up quite early. And I made that space. And all of a sudden, I was renewed. I was refreshed. I was restored as I sat there and just made time to listen, to meditate, to be present. And what's interesting is right at the end of it, there was something that happened, and it was a temptation for me to switch right back into my own way and my own will. And as a result of spending that time saturated in the presence of God, I was able to just take a pause and actually act in accordance with God's will, which is always loving, which is always guidance, which sometimes has boundaries and directives, but it's framed by, and it looks like, and it tastes like love. And so there's always goodness when we lay down our ways and we pick up God's ways. Am I saying it's easy? No. No, it's really quite challenging, actually. It's really quite challenging to lay down your way, but it's always better. So first is designate a time and a place. I always recommend you begin with Scripture. Anchor yourself on God's word. Anchor yourself on His truth. And let Him speak to you. Let Him guide you. Another thing it's worthwhile to do, and whether you do this in your Bible, I like to underline in my Bible and make notes inside of my Bible that I can go back to. Some of you like to write more, and so you might have a journal, but have something where you're actually writing down. Because what will happen is, as you move through the day, you'll go, what did I read? What did I read? And the amount of information that comes at us today is so incredible. And it's so intense. And it's so much that often it will go in and it will come out. And if you can pause and you can capture where God is speaking to you, just like we're doing today, where we're saying, okay, what's the word that stands out? Where does it speak to me? What's the invitation? Then you always have something to anchor yourself. You always have something when the enemy comes with a temptation to go back to and to stand on. It is written. The last thing is this: persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes we expect entering into a discipline will be instantly fruitful. It will be instantly beneficial. It will instantly be easy. And often there are elements of that. But often we are at war with an enemy who wants nothing more than to consume your time, than to distract you, than to speak his lies over you. And the way that we counter that is by being disciplined, by being consistent, by persevering, by staying in it. This is a gift for you as an individual. This is a gift for your family. This is a gift for anybody who is near you. And it's the way that we're designed. We're designed to be in intimate relationship with the Father. And that comes as we meditate on him, as we rest in him, as we're filled by him. Foster says this: what happens in meditation is that we create the emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ to construct an inner sanctuary in the heart. Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And so I'm going to read Psalm 67 for us again. And this time I'm going to invite you to keep the invitation to yourself, but I'm going to challenge you to share it with someone, either your spouse or with a friend, with somebody that you have some kind of accountability with. Make sure that you are sharing what the invitation is. Psalm 67. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak so clearly to us. We ask for your change, Lord. For your continued transformation. And we confess, Lord, that oftentimes it's hard to shift a way that's been established. And so we just place our focus on you and we trust you, Lord. We love you. And so listening for invitation. God, be merciful to us and bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth. Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So just invite you to take a moment right now where you're at and consider that invitation. If you have a pen, I'd invite you to write it down. If you make notes on a phone or some device like that, make a note. Just sit with it for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you speak to us. I'm going to invite you to remain in that that posture of prayer and listening. And I'm going to invite Jody, if you can come up. And I'm also going to invite Ron and Ellie, two of our elders, if you can make your way up. And we're going to prepare for communion. If I can ask also our communion servers, we'll get one station at the front here, and then we'll have one station at the back.